Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Welcome to another presentation of the Gospel Herald, a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you'd like to receive your free copy of these messages on CD, you can write to us at the Gospel Herald, Post Office Box 159, Gordonsville, Tennessee, 38563. This weekend, many around the country are observing the first annual Ten Commandments Day, promoted by the Ten Commandments Commission. You can look them up on the Internet. At that site, we are told that the Ten Commandments Commission was founded to counter the secular agenda and help restore the Ten Commandments and Judeo-Christian values to their rightful place in our society. The stated purpose of this day of Ten Commandments observation is that the day be dedicated for the display, awareness, commemoration, and celebration of the Decalogue, which we know to be the divine foundation of the Judeo-Christian faith. Many claim that the law is no longer binding on New Testament Christians because it was nailed to the cross and taken out of the way. The claim is that the Ten Commandments were a burden and have been replaced by a higher law, the law of love. Let's assume for a moment that this claim is true. Let's assume that the law of love has superseded the Ten Commandments. As we look around at our great country and at the world, do we see this law of love being played out in people's lives? Among all Western nations, America has the lowest percentage of children who grow up in a home with both biological parents. United States divorce rates are among the highest in the world. The primary cause of divorce? Adultery. Which would seem to indicate that the law of love is not working. Why not? Because everyone defines the meaning of, quote, love to suit themselves. Let me ask you this. If there is no written law, how, then, are we supposed to know what is morally right and wrong? The Apostle Paul told us that he had not known what lust or coveting were, except that the law revealed it to him. You can read about that in Romans 7:7. Thus, Paul points us to the only law that states, Thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not covet, as our source for moral instruction. Paul further wrote that without the law, sin is dead. That's in verse 8. Destroy or negate the law, and there remains no standard by which to determine what sin is. Sin ceases to exist, because there is nothing that defines sin for what it really is. Rebellion against God. That, then, raises an important question. If there is no law, how are we supposed to know what is morally right and wrong? The Bible tells us that the law is necessary, not only as a means of informing us of what sin is, but also as a means of revealing to us the character of God. The character of God, and not the mind or character of man, is the moral standard. It is the character of God that is embodied in the Decalogue. The Ten Commandments, then, are the standard of righteousness, the revelation of God's character in written form. It's easy for us to read all the thou shalt nots and think that the Ten Commandments were put in place to take all the fun out of life. That is simply not the case at all. The Decalogue is not a series of 10 prohibitions, but in fact are 10 promises from God. If we believe his promises to us, he will transform our character into a character like his, bringing us into conformity to his holy law. In Philippians 2:5, we are told that we should let the mind of Christ be in us. In that letter to the Philippians, that's just what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Believing the Ten Commandments and letting God's Word transform us. The Bible defines sin as transgression of the law. That's 1 John 3:4. But just a few verses down, John also tells us that this law, the law of God, is eternal, being the very same law that Lucifer rebelled against in heaven when he sinned against God. That's verse 8. Further, James tells us, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, is guilty of all." That's James 2:10. We can't pick and choose which part of the Decalogue we like and are willing to obey, and which part we will ignore or change, as though God's law is merely a list of options. The whole law stands as a complete unit. The law of God is very broad and covers every human need. If we fail to obey or observe one point, is to be guilty of all, and to be guilty before God is as though we had broken all of His commandments. I'm sure you've seen the Ten Commandments signs displayed in people's yards, on placards, posters, and other prominent places. In those signs we see that the fourth commandment has been shortened to read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," or simply, "Remember the Sabbath day." Why do you think that such editorial license with the Word of God removes three whole verses from the fourth commandment? Let's read that passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it." You may have heard some say that shortening these few verses doesn't really matter, since the essence of the commandment was kept intact, or that shortening these few verses was necessary to allow room for writing the other 9 commandments in the small space available on the sign. Is this valid reasoning? What is the essence of the fourth commandment? There are 2 parts to the fourth commandment. The first is the injunction to rest on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. The second part gives the reason we are told to rest, because it shows love and respect for our Creator, the only true God. God gave this commandment to ensure that we would never forget who He is, and how much we, as His creatures, should love and appreciate Him. The seventh-day Sabbath is the memorial of a perfect creation, having been given from the foundation of the world. You can read about that in Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. It is also the memorial of complete redemption, in that Christ Himself rested in the tomb after making the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. On the first day of the week, Christ arose from the grave to begin His work as our High Priest. The day of rest was passed. The first day of the week is intended and designed by God as a day of work, not rest. One of the stated goals of the Ten Commandments Commission is to reverse the enormous tide of immorality continuing to be released throughout the United States. That's a fine motive, and it's understandable if we forget who God is, then immorality will run rampant. Over and over again, the Bible tells of this fact. All throughout ancient Israel's history, when they forgot God, they fell into terrible apostasy. Wickedness of the worst sort became rampant in their society as they worshipped creation rather than the Creator. Read about that in the books of Judges and the 2 books of Kings. To correct His people in their lawlessness, God would send them prophets who invariably pointed them to the distinct difference between the gods they were worshiping and the one true God. The difference was that God is the Creator, while the gods made by man are no gods. That's Jeremiah 16:20. And in Isaiah 45, verses 16 and 18, we read, "They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Psalm 146, verses 5 and 6 also tells us, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." In an effort to halt the moral decline in this country, an increasing number of persons are clamoring for the government to take an active place in promoting Christian principles, specifically the Ten Commandments. Yet they dishonor the law in their own lives. They deny with their hearts and mouths the ultimate authority of God's Decalogue, preferring to exalt a humanly modified version. Posting the Ten Commandments in our yards or on the walls of public places will never create a moral society. The law must be internalized so that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it transform the life from within. It is the transforming of our minds that is important, not merely a change in outward behavior. 1 John 5:3 tells us, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." God has promised that He will write the law in our hearts. When the first four commandments of the Decalogue are finally seen for what they truly are, unwavering love for God in heartfelt appreciation for all that He gave to save us from the penalty, power, and ultimately from the presence of sin, will become a reality in each of our lives. Through faith in His redeeming power to save us from sin, we will begin to love others as we used to self-centeredly love ourselves. Concern for our neighbor will reign supreme in our day-to-day lives. As a result, we will honor our parents and respect our neighbors. Stealing, adultery, lying, gossip, criticism, and grasping materialism will not be a part of our character. When Jesus returns on clouds of glory to take His people home, His people will have received the seal of God in their foreheads and are identified as those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. By yielding ourselves completely to the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we will be brought into conformity to every principle of the law of God. We will become commandment keepers by faith in His power to save us from sin. This is what righteousness by faith is all about, resting in God's promise of full redemption from sin. The seventh-day Sabbath of the fourth commandment is the sign and seal of this rest. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. That's Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17. And in Ezekiel 20, verses 18 to 20, we read, "But I said unto their children in the wilderness, Walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." Again, to receive your free copy of these programs on CD, just write to us at the Gospel Herald, Post Office Box 159, Gordonsville, Tennessee. The zip code here is 38563. That address again is Gospel Herald, P.O. Box 159, Gordonsville, Tennessee, 38563.